My guest at this time is Brian Westbury. He's the former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee in Congress. He is now chief economist at First Trust Advisors in the Chicago area. We come to him frequently with key political questions, especially as economic debates rage in Washington. The latest one, of course, whether to extend unemployment insurance benefits, and if so, whether they ought to be offset with spending cuts in other areas. And Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be with you, Greg, as always.
Thank you, sir. Happy New Year to you. And one of the things we saw with the budget deal back in December was that the Democrats did not get what they wanted with the further extension of these unemployment benefits, which in the wake of the economic crisis of 2008 were extended quite a bit longer than they had been traditionally. But they came to an end in December, and now Democrats say it's essentially the moral imperative to make sure that people who are still looking for work have something in their pocket so they not only can keep putting food on the table, but so they can keep contributing to the economy and helping other people do better financially as well. Others have said that eventually these temporary emergency benefits have got to run out or else it's just another entitlement system. What do you think is the smartest approach here?
Sure. You know, once you get into these kinds of political arguments, sometimes economics takes a back seat. So let's just take a second to think about the economics of all of this. And I want to start with a little bit of a bigger picture. Every dime that the government spends, no matter where it goes, so if it's extended unemployment benefits, those dollars, those monies come from either borrowing or taxing from other people. So this idea that we can take from one group and give to another group and therefore help the economy, I think has a serious flaw in the logic to begin with. Now, what we have done over history is say that in temporary times where the economy is in a down cycle, we do want to help people. We all care about people, especially when we're talking about food on the table. The issue here is that we've been 5 years, almost 5 years, into this recovery. The unemployment rate has come from 10% down to 7%. And maybe it's time to think about another tactic if that's not what's getting, in a sense, the economy moving again.
How do we define emergency? The administration and its allies certainly believe that that is still the situation we're in. Others say that we've got to water down the situation to still define it as an emergency for kind of the reason you just outlined here. The unemployment rate has dropped 3 points from its worst point in this administration. So how do you think this administration is defining it, and how is it properly defined?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's happened is that after 2008 and 2009, we've called everything an emergency. People say that that was the worst crisis ever in history. And as an economist who I've been at this for 32 years being an economist. I've studied history of the United States for all its history, for most of the rest of the world. The 2008-2009 crisis doesn't even come close to one of the worst crises in the world. But because it scared so many people, we've continued to call everything an emergency, whether it's agricultural subsidies, whether it's defense spending, whether it's stimulus spending, everything. So I think what's happened in Washington is that everything has become an emergency. But when you look historically at the United States, 7% unemployment is high, but it is nowhere near the kind of crisis levels. And I know what people will say. They will say, well, hey, this guy doesn't care about people. That's not true. What I want to see is the best economic growth that we can have. And what I know from looking at history is that the smaller the government is, the more resources that we leave in the private sector, the more the economy grows and the more jobs we create. For example, if you look at Germany today, Germany is the only country in Europe, the only major country in Europe, that has actually cut the size of its government over the last 8 years. And it has the lowest unemployment rate in Europe. And I believe that those two are connected. I believe the smaller government means that more resources stay in the private sector and more jobs are created. And that's what this debate is about. Spending money is not the only way to show that you care about people. Unfortunately, in an emergency situation, and when everything becomes an emergency, then Washington devolves into just another way to see who can spend the most and say they help the people the most, when in fact, at least in my view, history shows that the more government spends, the less people are helped, not the more.
This kind of goes along the same lines potentially, Brian, but on Tuesday, President Obama, in pushing for Congress to pass this and with no strings attached, meaning no offset spending cuts, and we'll get to that in a moment, he says nobody who is on this type of unemployment benefit is turning down potential job offers because they're getting this meager assistance from the federal government and from other U.S. taxpayers. What's the history of that? Is that a disincentive to take other jobs, or is the president right?
No, I mean, this. All we need to really do is think about this in a common sense way. If you're being paid not to work, it is much easier to make the decision not to look for work. And there are many, many examples in history where once extended unemployment benefits are cut, ended, over, that all of a sudden we see a surge in the jobs that people take. We also know, and this is anecdotal evidence, I haven't seen major macro data on this, but that people around the country are looking at jobs in a factory, in a food plant, and on a farm, and they're looking at $10 to $12 an hour, let's say, in pay. But that in fact, if you add up all the benefits that you can get from the government, it equals $14 or $15 an hour, the equivalent of that, then why would you take that job? And so we saw this in Europe over the last 40 years, that they've made it literally almost painless to be without a job. And I know that sounds cold, but we're looking at this from an economic point of view. If you subsidize something, you get more of it. If you tax something, you get less of it. And what happened in Europe is that they subsidized non-work, non-production, and they taxed production, and it hurt their economies. And the United States has been moving in that direction for many years. No wonder our economy is slower. No wonder the unemployment rate is higher. My view is it the emergency is over. It is time to get back to a smaller government, a larger private sector, and allow the entrepreneurs, the innovators, and the creators to create more jobs and more opportunity, because government, I think, has proven that it can't really do that.
Two quick questions on spending offsets before we get going here. The president, like I said, wants no strings attached. He doesn't want to see spending cuts in other areas to pay for this. Again, it's an emergency. Most Republicans seem to be, while they're not thrilled with the idea of extending these benefits again, they say they definitely want spending offsets in exchange for it, both from the economic perspective and the political perspective. What do you make of that approach from most of the leaders in the GOP?
Sure. I think if Republicans are going to, in a sense, be forced to accept this by having to prove their empathy for people doing this, then Democrats ought to be able to allow spending to be cut in some other area. For example, agricultural subsidies. Why farmers are doing well these days. Let ethanol stand on its own if it's such a good product, something like that. And the other thing is we have to remember that the debate around this in economics is there a multiplier? In other words, when the government spends a dollar in a certain area, does it create more than a dollar of GDP? Now, I personally do not believe in multipliers, but there are some people who think that every dollar in extended unemployment benefits gives $1.40 back to the economy. And then they say a dollar spent in another area gives less back, maybe $1.05 or $1.08. So let's take from those areas where the multiplier is smaller or considered to be smaller and give it to these unemployment benefits. And I think Democrats should be willing to do that. Let's not let the government grow, because the bigger the government is, the smaller the private sector is.
And so what do you make of those six Republicans in the Senate who voted for extension without the offsets?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, in an election year, you know, votes are based on, in Congress, are based on what people think will get them reelected. This is, when it really comes down to it, lots and lots of things that the Congress does are not the most economically perfect kind of votes or policies. There's lots of things the government does that I believe hurt the economy but seem to win votes or to be politically correct. That's unfortunate, because I think in the end that hurts the U.S. economy in the long run.
Brian, we'll keep it there. Thank you very much for your time. As always, we appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you, Greg. You too.
Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee in Congress. He is now chief economist at First Trust Advisors in Chicago, Illinois. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.